This podcast is proudly sponsored by the BBPA, the Black Business Professionals Association. If I
ruled the world. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Queen Series podcast presented by Melanin Queens Organics. I am your host, Elena Christine, and I'm excited. Tyler looks like she's excited, too. I'm excited because I am sitting down with a very special guest. She is the CEO of Monoxide, and her name is Tyler Ferguson. What up, Tyler?
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
It's awesome to be in today.
Ooh. I like, you guys didn't see this, but she gave like a little like head twirl, which I really appreciated.
We're having a good time already.
Yes. Just in the beginning. This is going to be a really excellent episode because like myself, you are an entrepreneur. So first, get into exactly what Monoxide is and how that journey started.
Okay, that is a heavy question to unpack. I will try to get all of the important bits in.
Yeah.
As Elena said, my name is Tyler Ferguson. I'm the owner and designer of Monoxide. It's a handmade jewelry brand that I founded in 2012.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's been 7 years.
That's amazing.
I can't believe it's been 7 years. I started the business the summer before I went to university. It was a complete happy accident, a very happy accident, actually.
Yay!
I, like most entrepreneurs, my university degree is not in design, fashion, or whatever our business is in.
Which is really hard to believe because you are like a fashionista!
Thank you.
Yes!
Thank you. But yeah, it just was a happy accident. I pretty much picked up a piece of jewelry and I've been designing ever since. Mm-hmm. I think for entrepreneurs, when you decide to start your business, it's usually, well, when they tell you now, if you go back and like Google how to start a business, it's like, look for a problem, look for a niche, or what do you want to solve in the market? And you know, that is all valid.
Sure.
But for me, it was really just inspiration. Like, I don't know if a lot of people have experienced what it's like to just be good at something. And, you know, I just kind of picked this up and I've been just doing it. I you know, I didn't go to school for it, like I said. And it's been a wild, crazy ride for 7 years.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, we've had a lot of highs, a lot of lows. I think most entrepreneurs can agree.
Yeah.
You know, I've had the opportunity to go to like London Fashion Week.
What?
I know. It's crazy.
Wait. I didn't know this.
Well, I was going to talk about it later on in our convo,
okay.
But I can talk about it now.
Yeah, well, just give us a little tease so we know.
A little teaser?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you were in London Fashion Week. When was this?
So this, I went twice, actually. I know.
I'm sorry.
That's kind of like my shining accomplishment, I think, for the business.
Well, twice,
yeah. So that was really, you know, you see how far you can push your business and like you own something. It's your baby. It's like you want it. You just have to want it so badly. And you have no idea where your business is going to take you.
Exactly,
I did not start this business to be like, you know what, Tyler, let's go to like London Fashion Week. Let's just do a thing. But these opportunities like just come up and it's amazing. So, yeah, we got the opportunity to go. It was at a point in my life where I was like, no, we actually can't do
this. No.
And that was kind of something that I will, I guess, touch upon later in the episode as well. Just not telling myself no.
Right.
And that's kind of part of the growth as well. Like you're just, when you start a business, it's all you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're your cheerleader. You're, you know, you're awesome. You got this. Go team. You know, it's all you. And, you know, I'm lucky now that I have a really good support system. But in the beginning, it was a little rocky, you know, especially with the fam. But now the fam is on board. It's really good. Everything is, you know, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But in the beginning, it was really hard for even me to admit that I'm doing this business thing. I was like, oh, I'm a university student.
But wow.
Like, I went to school out of province. So if you're in Canada, I went to school in Quebec, which is 8 hours away from where I lived in Ontario. So already I was alone.
Yeah.
You know, had to make all new friends, everything, going to university, growing up, essentially. I'm living in res for first year. The last 3 years, I'm off campus. I'm adulting, you know, hashtag adulting.
Yeah.
And also growing this brand. And it's just me. Your friends don't get it because they're just like, I'm going to take my OSAP money, which is student loan money, and go party and like whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, I gotta pay my rent, yes, and I gotta buy my books, but also I'm like running this business, and I worked all 3 years after I left campus to like build my business. I was going back and forth between Toronto, and I was outside of Montreal, so I was going back and forth all the time, all kind of craziness where people would just be like, we're just going out and we're having a good time.
Right. Like, so you couldn't relate.
I couldn't relate, and they couldn't relate to me.
Exactly. You know, which is really difficult, especially during that time.
Very difficult.
Yeah. So how did you navigate that? It was like,
I mean, I had amazing friends.
Yeah.
And even though they were awesome, like I love them to death, mm-hmm, they still don't understand the drive or the desire to want to build something, you know, that's just 100% yours. You know, they're basically just like, I'm going to get my degree, I'm going to get a great job, and I'm going to just, you know.
Yes, it's very.
The very, like.
Standard. The very, like, society tells you that this is the way that it works, and I'm going to follow this trajectory, this path, and that's how my life will end up. But for you, what was it that told you, this is not my field, but I love jewelry, and I'm just going to go with it? What was that?
You know, I'm lucky in a sense that from when I was a little kid, my parents have never told me I could not do something. Yes. So I like big up my parents.
Yes.
You know, as many like arguments as we've had, they've never ever told me that I cannot do something. And they've always put me in a position to question things and,
wow. You
know, basically just always look for knowledge, always be creative, everything. So I was like a very well-rounded kid. It was not the typical like Caribbean like stuff. Okay, this is your life and it's planned out for you and this is what you're doing.
It.
Follow the steps, uh-huh, and whatever, you know? So it was very much like, today we're going to do like arts and crafts. Like my mom had this tarp that she would pull out of the garage, and literally when you see the tarp come out, it's arts and crafts time. You are
really
doing something.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. So it always be something creative. Like one time it was like, okay, we're going to paper mache. Another time it's like, okay, up the street, the ceramic studio just opened up and they're offering classes. So you can go and learn how to do.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. Your mom is awesome.
He's a pretty cool mom.
Yeah.
Pretty cool mom.
That's
not gonna
so
lie.
Good.
Good mom. And even my dad. My dad is a very analytical person. Like,
yeah,
he. So my mom is more right brain, whichever,
yeah,
is the
right
art
brain
side.
Yeah,
my mom,
yeah,
is more right brain.
And your dad is
my
left brain.
My dad is more left brain, but he is still very creative, but it's more structured. And I think I get that from him, actually, because when you look at my jewelry, it is very structured. Like, it's not, I don't do free form or organic, anything like that. It's very much industrial pieces,
yeah,
very structured, everything like that. So I credit that to my dad. But the creative drive, I think, definitely comes from both of them. But my mom definitely stoked that fire. Even when I was a kid, bedtime, she was like, okay, we're going to start a story. And then she would be like, what happens next? And I would have to,
oh my gosh,
create the,
yeah,
like, ending or the next chapter. And then,
yeah,
every night, a progression of nights, we would be making the story from scratch.
So she really cultivated or,
exactly,
helped guide that
exactly
creativity that you tapped into more when,
exactly,
you hit college.
So it was never really like, I want to go into jewelry design, but I've always been making from,
mm-hmm,
when I was a young age, whether it's writing, making stories, actual physical art,
mm-hmm,
I've always been creating stuff.
Wow.
And I just put that into my jewelry.
Oh my gosh. And by the way, your jewelry is absolutely incredible.
You.
It's gorgeous.
Thank
I first
you
saw it on Carlin Perso. We actually met.
Yes.
At Carlin had a sister talk, which was really dope, and she was wearing this incredible, all her jewelry is dope.
She is.
Yes.
Her jewelry, her
really, yeah,
just dope.
Dope in general. But that necklace piece that she was wearing was by Monoxide, and it was gorgeous.
I have to say, she wears my pieces so well. Love,
yeah,
you. Thank you.
Thank you. That's like a really great story.
Yeah, I mean, when I think back on it, I'm like, oh yeah, like that.
Yeah, they helped kind,
yeah,
of shape the trajectory,
exactly,
of your business. So let's talk a little bit about the development process that,
mm-hmm,
you've had to go through, especially in college. Because like during college, that's like a really poor
time.
Yeah, when you try to figure out like who you are and you try to grow into yourself. So talk about a little bit of what that process was like for you.
Okay. Well, I think it's still happening if I'm being
100%
honest.
Yeah.
But definitely the core foundations were laid in university. It was hard, I think. Like I said before, like I had a really close group of friends, but they did not understand.
Yeah.
So it was really hard to talk to people about it. And like, you know, with every school, there's like entrepreneurship
people, clubs.
Yeah. Stuff, but it's not the same. It's like,
it's not the same.
They either haven't started their business or they don't even know where they want to go. And I had already had my business by the time I even got to university, like day one business already started. So it was kind of like a duality of like growing up as a person and growing my business at the same time. And they're definitely intertwined. Definitely. I learned a lot about myself with my business, like, you know, being accountable to people. And when you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, you know, it has consequences.
Yeah,
like, definitely has consequences, like for yourself. And if someone gives their word to you and then they let you down, then, you know, you learn from that and move on. And if you give your word and let them down, you find out from that as well. So it was more, I would say it wasn't one thing, but it was definitely things that happen that teach you lessons. That
led to
personal growth. It wasn't just like, you know, I learned this thing and whatever. It was more of like you're in the middle of trying to build your business and all these things are happening and you just learn to react to them in like a, I want to say adult way, but I don't even know if that's like the right term. Like,
yeah.
I remember what, like in my second year of university, I had an event in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I could not go. I had my mom there as kind of like my representative. They needed 50 pieces for giveaway.
Wow.
I literally sat in my living room.
Yes, girl.
Wire wrapped everything, was doing everything. My friend comes, she tries to help me, sees me stressing out, but ends up tangling up all the chain that I had already, you know, organized.
Oh, no.
And I was just kind of like,
I don't like this at all.
Yeah, I was like, I need help, but I
don't need this kind of
I can't help. Have but it she was just from like, you. And she was just trying to honestly help.
Yeah, of course.
But I was just like, I don't have the time to teach you how to do it.
Right.
It's going to take me longer
for
you to like learn how to do it.
So you're like, hey, you can support me in other ways.
Exactly.
Help me out in
and
other ways.
And it was really learning how to communicate to people what
you need.
Wow,
that's really great. Yeah.
Versus also your expectations of them.
Yeah.
And just so that you're not both disappointed. And like, I have like, I don't have a temper, but I get like, you know, not frazzled easily. I don't want to like, I'm like painting myself in a bad light here.
No, you're not.
But
it's
like,
normal.
It's not, I get easily like, I'm very short. With
okay.
People,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
Like, yes.
I have like X amount of time. There's only 24 hours in the day.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't think I'm sleeping for like any of those, you know? And it's just kind of like, this is what I need, blah, blah, blah. Like, if you can do it, great. If you can't do it, great. Like,
yeah.
But don't, and I don't like getting feelings involved. I'm very good at like compartmentalizing and
yes,
I just,
that's my favorite word,
you know, and people kind of get like upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, why aren't you like more, I don't know, feeling? And I'm like, well, emotions don't always have to come into things, and I think a lot of people expect
wow that's that's a good word, like,
so
how did you figure that out, that even that you don't have to be so emotionally reactive to things, in particular when it comes to business and maybe even personal life too?
So in my personal life, I definitely think I'm a bit more emotional, and it's not even that much compared to my business.
It's like one level
up from how I am in my business. You know, I'm a very bubbly, engaging person, but when it comes to my business, I am very much like, okay, this is what I need.
You run a tight ship.
These are my goals.
You run a tight ship.
Yeah, I run a tight ship. And like, it's just me. Well, it's me and like one other person.
Yeah.
But for the beginning, it was just me. So I really had to, like, I had to think about what I'm willing to give to other people and other situations because I have only X amount of time.
Right.
So I was going to class. I was making the jewelry. And I make all the jewelry by hand. I still make all my jewelry by
Beautiful.
Hand. There's no other person that helps me with production, even to this day.
Wow.
So I was designing the jewelry. I was making the jewelry. I was going to school. And I was working.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was still trying to be social and have my friends and everything. So it was very much a balancing act. And, you know, sometimes...
Did you find that balance, or are you having trouble finding that balance?
It's a struggle. Some days I do better than others.
Yeah.
Definitely. But in university, it's very hard because I guess I had this expectation of when I left high school, I would kind of leave all the BS behind.
Yeah.
But
that's what we all say, girl. Right? Like,
I'm done with this. Graduating, you're literally I'm 18. Bye.
18 years old.
Like trying to be an adult, being exactly. all serious. Like, goodbye, I've graduated. Real life starts right now.
And
like
you're
they
18.
Hand you the
your degree
the diploma,
you're like,
and you're like, real life.
Uh-huh.
That is not, if you're 18 and listening to this, that is not
that's
what happens.
Not how that works.
I'm just going to give you the down low right now. People never leave high school, and I know uh-huh. that like the all the gross like teens like episodes of that you watch or TV show, they're like high school.
People that's fake.
Still petty.
People, still people petty. Will always be. I know like 70-year-olds that are petty.
Still petty.
Wow, so, Patti LaBelle. Petty, like real petty.
Oh my god. But yeah, if you're 18, seriously, if you ever have any questions,
right.
hit me up on the gram. I will
hit
give
up
you
Tyler because
real,
she's gonna give
the
you
real
the real real.
But yeah, I really struggled with that. The mm-hmm. the fact that people were not honest. And I think I maybe gave them too much credit, or maybe myself too much credit, expecting them to kind of act like not like a fool.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had to remind myself that, you know, maybe I come across as immature sometimes and whatever, because I'm so much about my business. I think in the beginning, I was very much like almost too much to the left, like business,
uh-huh.
you know, whereas everyone was just kind of like all over the place trying to figure out. And you need to do that. Like also, if you're 18 listening to this, do that.
Yeah.
Do the messiness because, yeah. you know, after you graduate, you don't have time. And things are very much set in stone
yeah.
after. So I'm very grateful to like for my university experience. I definitely could have been a lot messier.
Right.
So I feel like my business kind of restrained me from like
wow.
going full university hot mess mm-hmm. because I was building this. So, you know, two sides of the coin there. So my business kind of held me back a little bit because I would always be like, no, I can't do any kind of recklessness because I either got to get up in the morning and do
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
Or like, if any of this comes back to bite me when I'm being a business professional, like, no.
True.
So that was kind of one way. But then I would also try to use my business to kind of like do fun stuff to be like, again, circling back to London Fashion Week.
It
was like a vacation. Also, like
yeah.
I worked, uh-huh. but then I also packed on a few days to be like, hey, I'm in London, y'all. Yeah. Like,
do the London
take.
Stuff. Yeah.
But then going back to university, I was definitely like surprised by how people acted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's part of growing up. It's part of the whole shebang. And, you know, people are still trying to figure out who they are. So,
right.
you know, they're inherently going to disappoint you. And that's no fault of theirs because they're on their own journey, right? And they can't do
wow.
everything and be everything for you. And
exactly.
That's whatever. But also on the reverse side, for me, I had to learn that I cannot be 100% to one person or and like one thing, like my friends. I cannot be 100% to my friends because
right.
I'm either at work on campus, at class,
yeah,
or I'm
you're very like structured
making my business,
in that way, yeah.
and I'm very structured, and I very much don't like all the sections to touch if they don't have to, like all
wow.
the different parts of my business and my life. If they don't mm-hmm. have to intersect, I really don't need them to.
Oh my god,
you know?
Yeah, I feel that.
Right?
What makes you so like structured in that? Like, where does that discipline come from, and how did you develop that?
I moved a lot as a kid.
Oh, you moved around.
So,
okay.
you know, for better or for worse, I cut ties. And, okay, but no.
Cut off queen. The cut off queen,
no,
ladies
moved,
and gentlemen.
I moved a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
And I put my foot down when I started high school. I
uh-huh.
told my mom that I
didn't want to move anymore.
Didn't want to move anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to start another school halfway through high school, you know, whatever. At this point in the journey, my parents had separated everything.
Yeah.
We had moved. We had even left the country. I lived in the Bahamas for 2 years.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. And then we came back and it was this whole thing. And, you know, my mom, she like went to France for a year. It's like, it's, you know, we only have 45 minutes.
We don't have the time.
Can I get into the whole life
right.
story?
But essentially, you moved around
a lot,
and this created this ability for you to detach
Yeah, so it created this ability for, first of all, I am like 100%. So, you know what? If I'm your friend, I'm your friend. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's no like, I'm your half friend. I give you one side of my face, mm-hmm. whatever. What you see is what you get. I tell my friends the first time I meet them, I'm going to be honest, okay? If that's going to be a problem for our friendship, you got to let me know now. Because if you ask me stuff and you right. wanted me to like let you down easy or any kind of like,
you're just like,
no. So, you know, and that also created a lot of problems because I would be 100% upfront with people to be like, this is how I am. These are the faults I think I have. So we're going to be friends. So
you're going to own your faults.
Please.
Still.
Yeah, yeah. You have to own your faults. Yeah. You have to be upfront because I feel like that sets appropriate expectations. Mm. Because if you want the fake friend, go get a fake friend.
Yeah.
But I'm not that fake friend.
Right.
So if you want to have me in your friend group, I'll be your ride or die. Whatever, but just know we're not going to be doing any foolishness because A, own a business, B, try to live my life, and C, still trying to be your friend
yeah.
to the best of my ability. So, yeah. you know, my closest friends, I met them the first night of university, but I told them, I am honest, okay? Uh-huh. If you cannot deal with honesty, and sometimes it's harsh, and sometimes you don't want to hear that, either don't ask me the question or we, like, just don't be friends, yeah. you know? And we have been friends for, like, 5 years, almost 6 years. So
well, that worked out perfectly.
I think it worked out well. And not to say it's been perfect, like, with any relationship, there are hella yeah. ups and hella downs.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
like...
Yeah, but because you established that relationship, that...
Exactly.
Listen, this is how I am, so don't be surprised, and, exactly. you know, I'm not... So what you see is what you get is your kind of demeanor
exactly.
with people.
And that is attributed 100% to the fact that I moved around. So I am able wow. to make relationships quickly.
Yeah.
But if I'm leaving or you're leaving, there's no tears, okay? Wow. Because things come and go. Either your friends are there for a reason, a season, or a lifetime.
Yeah.
And that's something that my grandma told me, and I was like, dang, grandma.
Granny, you
got some real talks. Like, you know, yes. but I'm very much a believer in that. Like, yeah. people come into your life for a reason.
Absolutely.
And if it's a long time, great. If it's a short time, great. But, like, you know, you kind of can't try to hold on to relationships that are past their expiry date, if that makes sense.
And how do you know that a relationship has hit that mark for you? In
you
your
will
relationship?
Feel the signs. I'm going through it right now, and I'm like, I was ignoring my intuition because I didn't want to let the friendship go.
It's hard.
I really enjoy like time that I spend with with my friends and everything, but like I have to think back, and of course I don't want to make it seem like it's a one-sided thing. Like, I always try to look at anything that happens, the role that I played, what could I have done differently,
mm-hmm.
everything like that. But even if you had done something differently, the end result might have been the same.
Right.
And if you're coming to that conclusion, well, it's time to cut that tie. And you will know because, like, if you set up your life in a certain way, your friends should not be holding you back from what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. That's facts.
As I've just stated, I've been 100% honest with my friends. So yeah. they know I'm growing a business or, you know, have a business now because it's been 7 years. But like, if you're getting in the way of me trying to live this dream and build this business I've been building for the past 7 years, well, that can't work. And if I'm getting in your way and you can't communicate that to me and that's why we're fighting and whatever, well, then it's time to just cut the ties and it's going to hurt. It hurts now,
mm-hmm.
you know, but in the end, it's going to be detrimental to me. And mm-hmm. I have to kind of cut the tie. So
you made that decision because it's the best one for you to make.
Yeah. You know.
In the process of making that
and
decision.
I think a lot of people will find stuff like that selfish. But it's not selfish to want the best for yourself.
I think it's an indication of self-love, really.
Exactly.
I mean, to its root, because you would want the best for yourself and you're not going to compromise on that. It's really a testament to how much you love yourself.
Exactly. And you would want the best for your friend. And if that
absolutely.
Is not being friends with them,
then that's
well,
okay, too.
You know, that's
yeah.
it.
I think we tend to kind of draw these lines between like if we're not in their lives, then it's like
it's over
and it's yeah. bad and it's negative, but really it doesn't have to be.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be. It can be the best decision for both parties, and it can really be beneficial for everybody if you take it that way.
And there's no reason that you guys cannot rekindle the friendship when sure. you guys have both had time apart, you've grown, everything. You know, I've had that happen. Like, I've had friends from high school. Thought we were going to be friends forever.
Forever and ever.
And exactly.
Yeah.
exactly. Cue the song. And that was not the case.
Yeah. yeah.
But now, 5-6 years later,
uh-huh.
we're like reconnecting a little bit to be like, hey, you know, been a while, been a hot min, but now we're coming back and we're starting to be friends again. And it's really nice. You know, it's never going to be the same as it was before because, you know, everything, life goes on.
Right.
But it's still nice, you know, and that's kind of, it's.
It is what it is.
I don't want to say, hate the corniness, but yes, it is what it is.
Well,
but
yeah. So let's get back into this idea of your development process and how that has intertwined with the growth of your business in 7 years. And you mentioned that you're still growing.
Yes.
Which we all are. I think it was, who was it? I think I was listening to something. Maybe been, it's either Michelle Obama or RuPaul. It could have gone either way.
Quite the dichotomy.
I know. But someone asked, when do you want to stop growing? And that person said, oh, when I'm on my deathbed and probably beyond.
Yeah.
Because I don't want there to be a day where I stop growing.
Exactly.
So this process of growing, this self-development, this self-growth process is a lifelong journey.
Lifelong journey. I think it's kind of like exercising. You know, you don't just get the hot summer body and stop. You have to maintain, switch, and constantly be tweaking and tweaking to get where you want to go. Like I'm still learning, still on the journey. And even now I have had to force myself to take me time, which is a concept that has been foreign to me since I was 18.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, like, and I love just going out, eating food. Really big foodie, actually.
There you go.
Self-proclaimed foodie. I just love being out and doing stuff. Like, I'm a very social person, and it doesn't have to be like we're hitting the club and getting all turned up on a Saturday or anything like that, which is, that's fun.
Yeah, that is really fun.
But it could just be going to an event, meeting some new people. And, you know, I try to sometimes mix a little business into it so I feel like justified that I'm taking like this time
to
myself.
So do you feel guilty if you're not?
I don't feel guilty. It's more of like a give and take, whereas like, okay, I know I'm going to do this thing for 5 hours. It's not business related. And in the back of my head, I do think, oh, like, what could I be doing right now? Wow. Like, kind of like, you know, I could be doing this X amount of work or whatever. But then I know if I go, I'll just be like, oh, I don't really need to do this right now. And that's the thing. It's not like it doesn't have to get done. It doesn't have to get done right now.
Uh-huh.
Do I have the time to go and do something that I want to do just for me? That is like the biggest lesson that I've had to learn since I started my business, because I was very much like, I'm building this business and I'm going to get to this point in my life where everything is quote unquote perfect, which does not exist.
Yes.
And it'll be exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. And I won't have to struggle. I won't have to do any of these things anymore because I've hashtag made it.
Uh-huh.
That is not real, because you, even if you've made it, you have to maintain
and you like, have to persist and
exactly.
you have to keep going and you have to just keep working
exactly.
on building your business and building yourself. So it's like this idea that end goal is finite, like that and it's not
exactly.
What a harsh reality to come to, especially when you make,
all you 18 year olds out there.
This one's for you. Yeah, and it's like something that you really have to come to terms with, especially
exactly.
when you're going through this process and this journey where it's just like, and that's what I had to learn as well is, you know, I want to celebrate when I do the thing. And it's like, well, that thing is never going to come. And you have to learn to appreciate all the small accomplishments that you make along the way. And that goal that you set for yourself is not really a goal. It's just another step in the journey and the process. Yeah, so that's what I was doing, was I was just celebrating the end goal, but not celebrating all the small things in between and not satisfied when I hit those little small
things. Yeah. And I was suffering from the same thing. And, you know, if you continue to do that, you get discouraged in your business.
You just get discouraged, yeah.
You can't afford to do that. You put in all this work, all this energy, and then you're just kind of like, oh, I'm upset. Like, why is it not happening? And, you know, we all go through that. But honestly, a goal is just an amalgamation of, like, the small little accomplishments that you've achieved over time.
Wow.
So, and I've had to learn to enjoy the ride. I did not in the beginning. I was just like, okay, great, we got featured in a magazine, next. Great, wow. Like, blah, blah. And these are like things where
these
I
are really
back
big things.
Now I'm like, I got mentioned in Forbes, glossed over that completely.
You got mentioned in Forbes?
I did.
You're so humble.
You're
like the most humble person I've ever. Because that's insane. You've done London Fashion Week twice and you've gotten mentioned in Forbes and you're just like, nah, 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 Forbes.
Yeah, that's it. And I literally was like, what is next? And yeah, I had to kind of be like, no, you can't do that. And it's now a year later because I went to London Fashion Week in 2018 and I had
to. Well, congratulations, queen. Like,
thank you.
I have no words. Like, there's no follow up.
Just silent.
But just 30 seconds of a silence. Because
that's crazy.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about that. What was that moment like for you? And talk a little bit about, like, you said a little bit of like what's next and when you hit these things, but London Fashion Week specifically, like, how did that hit you?
You know what? I was so caught up in how are we gonna get there? What do I need to do to make this happen? And also, I think that is an important thing to think about. If you're, you know, have your business or whatever, like I said, there's only so much time in the day, so much energy. So because I'm working so hard on London Fashion Week, there's like things that have to get taken away. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So there's only so much at any point in time.
Yeah.
So I was so focused on, okay, we have this opportunity to go. And my first reaction was, can we even go? Maybe we shouldn't go because,
oh gosh,
you know, like,
yeah, you stepping in your own way at
exactly,
that point. Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, money, do we have enough product? Like all this kind of stuff, like all of the things that get in your way to make you afraid of.
Fear steps in.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, am I ever going to get this opportunity again? Who will I meet? I'll never know because I'm not there. So I just was like, I have to make this happen. What does that even look like from a personal, financial, everything? What do I have to minus away to like shove over here? So we're going to London.
Yeah.
You know, and I got the opportunity, made it happen. Don't even know how I made it happen, guys. Gonna be honest. And
it's beautiful. That is really beautiful.
Literally, I have to give props to my mom, and I'll touch on this in a second because it has been a bit of a rocky kind of situation.
Yeah.
My mom and I work together. Like, I started the business. I designed everything. But my mom is actually my creative director. Mm-hmm. And anybody who has worked with their parents or any family knows that that is a challenge. I think that particularly contributed to my growth. But I will circle back to that. But in terms of London Fashion Week, I was working. So I had to figure that out to be like, do I even have the vacation time? Is there enough notice? Everything, because, you know, I have to be there. I'm the designer,
right?
You know, and at the end of the day, I kind of had to take a step back and be like, what does this look like if I don't go? Because some things were kind of conspiring to make it look like I wasn't going to be able to go. So I had to make the decision, to whether I'm linked 100% to my business. And that's something that a lot of business owners have to go through. Do you want to be so inextricably linked to your business?
Right.
You know, or do you just want to have it like super black and white? Like, this is my personal, this is my business life. Like, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I had to make the choice to be like, okay, if I can't go, what does that mean? So I sent my mom. So my mom went and I was like, if I cannot get this time off of work, you're going to represent Monoxide.
Yeah.
It's from this day to this day, all the jewelry is made, the lookbook is done,
wow.
Everything. She went 2 days before the event to set up, make it all look beautiful because she handles the visuals, everything like that. And I was basically like, if I cannot come, you gotta handle it.
You got this.
You gotta handle it.
Yeah.
Just make sure you mention my name. Like, you know what I mean? If anybody asks you, you know? But that was like hard for me because I have this opportunity to go and this is like a once in a lifetime craziness. And I almost could not go. Thankfully, it all worked out in the end and I ended up going. But I bought her ticket before I bought mine.
Right.
You know, because I just had to make sure that if I am physically not there, the jewelry is there. And that's what matters.
And that's what matters.
And that's kind of like, that was also a big thing for personal growth. That even though I am the face of my brand, the jewelry should be, you know, kind of front and center, should be able to stand on its own. Your product, whatever it is, if it is good enough, it will be able to stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been fortunate enough that that has been proven to me time and time again. I don't have to be there. People don't even know I make the jewelry sometimes.
Right.
People don't even believe I make it by hand sometimes. I'm like, well, thank you. You know, but it was a big deal for me to come to that realization to be like, Tyler, you may not be able to go to this event. Mm-hmm. What does that look and feel like? You know, and thankfully...
What did it? What were you thinking?
I was equal parts upset and sad.
Yes.
When it looked like I wasn't going to be able to go. And then I literally got like everything together like 3 days before the event. Mm-hmm. I bought my ticket to London like, I think, 2 days before.
Wow.
Would not recommend. Super expensive. Gonna be honest. Do not
plan beforehand.
Also, the exchange rate is killer. If you are planning to do anything, yeah, Canada in
to
Europe,
the UK, uh-huh, to Europe,
like literally 50%.
Girl,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal, but the event, I would not change that for.
That
anything.
Is beautiful.
You know, I met all these great people.
Of course,
great connections. I looked cute. Also,
yes, Claire.
Also important. I didn't go to London to play with nobody. Exactly.
I didn't go to London to play.
Exactly.
Was that a dream of yours to be at London Fashion Week?
No. Oh my God. Not at all. And it just kind of happened. I'm like, am I doing this? Yes. Yes, I am doing this.
Wow.
And I got the opportunity to go a second time. And also amazing. Mm-hmm. And I really took the opportunity to kind of firm up the connections I had made the first time and everything like that. And, you know, scout out new stores, all the things that you do when you own your business. But it was really just like getting there. Like that was the big hurdle that really forced me to like change my perception, everything about my business, to be like, the joy can stand on its own.
Yeah.
You know, and it had been up until this point, but I hadn't realized that it could do it on its own. I always thought that either myself or my mom needed to be there.
Yeah, like sell it, like, or present it, or, yeah.
But, you know, most of the time, like, I have a showroom in Parkdale for anybody who's in Toronto, and most of the time the jewelry sells when I'm not there. So I've now been like, I don't need to be there, which is fine because, you know, I have other stuff to do. I handle all my social media. I'm making the jewelry. I don't have to be at a place for 8 hours a day to sell my jewelry. It sells itself. So that was kind of also...
And you've worked for it to sell itself also. Like, you've done the groundwork for it to stand on its own.
Exactly.
And folks to be like, oh, that's monoxide. And it's very distinct and they know exactly it has its own aesthetic.
All the blood, sweat, and tears.
Oh!
100%.
So when you buy monoxide, you're wearing your blood, sweat, and tears.
You are. A little piece of me goes to every piece. Enjoy. Yes.
So let's talk again, circle back to this idea of your relationship with your mom. You touched a little bit about it and you wanted to get back to it.
So a lot of people, first of all, think my mom is my sister. So she loves that.
I'm sure you guys look identical.
She loves that. I'm cuter. Just going to put it out there in case there's any questions about it. I am 100% cuter. We look a little bit alike,
slightly,
I guess.
Slightly alike. Twins, identical twins.
Just like 100%. But... But yeah, I mean, since I started the business, like I said, I started in 2012. At the time, my mom had just opened up a boutique. So she was kind of my first stockist, if you will, which is really nice. Aww. Go team, go.
Yes.
Yeah. It was really cute. My mom did not have to do that at all. Because I look back at some of my old pieces and I'm like, oh, these are kind of ratched. But thank you. Love you.
Thank you.
I literally, if you bought an old monoxide piece and you're listening, contact me. I will fix it. I will make it look cuter. Okay. Thank you. Public service announcement.
I'm dying.
She didn't officially come on as my creative director, I think, until after she closed her store. So she had her store for about 3-4 years.
Uh-huh.
I was helping her with social media because, like all our parents, they are not tech savvy. They need us so much. So I was helping her with that. I was also her sales associate. You know, family biz.
Right. Was your mom always an entrepreneur?
My mom was, no, she was always a creative, but this was like her dream was to own her own business. Uh-huh. And, you know, my mom, I call her like a Chanel gypsy, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like she's very
Chanel
much
gypsy.
Classy lady, but she is just like an artist. Like, you know, if she had the chance, she'd just be traveling all over the world and just doing creative things and living her best life. And I love that about my mom. She has definitely imparted that to me, that there, it doesn't matter what situation you're in, you can live your best life and your surroundings can be beautiful. Whether you have all the money, no money, a little bit of money, everything, it is so easy to A, look good and feel good and have your space look good.
Mm-hmm.
So I love her for that. And her store was just that. It was beautiful. Mm. So I was helping her with that. I was also doing monoxide, going to school, everything. In the summers, I'd come back and work at her store. all that jazz. Unfortunately, she ended up closing it. Everything, it was sad, teary moment. Mm-hmm. But then she ended up doing pop-ups with her store all around Toronto and the surrounding areas. And in the meantime, was helping me with my visuals and creative direction and everything like that. But it's hard being in business with family. I'll just be 100% transparent with that. It is very difficult. And I love my mom to the moon and back. I love my dad to the moon and back. But, you know, it's hard to separate the personal from the professional.
Which is something that you do, right? Like, that's your thing, that you separate and you don't like the overlap. Exactly. So I could imagine that you're working with
very
your...
Very frustrated. Love you, Mom. Very frustrating.
Yeah.
And it was really a growth process for both of us, because you have to kind of learn what is professional, what is personal, and where the line has to be drawn. And it's difficult because A, she's my mom.
Right.
B, she's older than me, mm-hmm. but it's my business. And that was kind of the problem, is that I was like kind of letting her, you know, her opinions that, well, valid, weren't always the right way to go for my business, but I'm like, oh, she's my mom.
She's your mom, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it's hard. But at the end of the day, I kind of have to put my foot down to be like, listen, you know, from X amount of hours, or if we're dealing with monoxide, like, this is my business. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm the boss of you, not in that way, not in those words, but like...
You gotta say it a little nicer.
You gotta say it a little nicely now that she's your mom. Uh-huh. But I kind of had to be like, listen, this is my baby, and while you may have a breadth of experience in the industry, because my mom does have a fashion background... Wow. Not everything is valid with a situation. Mm-hmm. And that was very difficult. Very difficult to have a conversation. I contemplated like just actually letting my mom go. Mm-hmm. But again.
Just because it's like easier to not. Right.
Very difficult to fire a family without hurt feelings.
Right.
But it was very hard. And I really had to learn, again, how to communicate effectively, something that I thought I was doing, what I was doing with other people who were not related to me. So it was like, okay, there, again, no feelings, no, mm-hmm. no like crazy emotions. But with your mom, it's like, it's kind of hard to be like, okay, Mom, I don't like what you're doing and whatever. And then she would, because I wasn't giving proper direction.
Right.
There was miscommunication. There was like hurt feelings. You were getting upset. She's like, why are you upset? And then, you know, you can't articulate because you don't want to hurt her feelings.
Right.
And I think on the reverse side, I mean, having a second person help you, amazing. Having a family member help you has its positives. I mean, you never have to spend the time feeling out a person, getting to know
their quirks, because you know them.
Because you know them.
Yeah.
And it's very easy when it works mm-hmm. to just say something, they understand it 100% and go. Mm-hmm. When it does not work, it causes a lot of problems because you cannot communicate effectively. And it was like a lot of things that happened. Like people would like defer to my mom instead of me because they'd find out she's my mom and assume because she's older
that it's her
business.
Yeah.
And she would kind of have to be like, no, it's actually my daughter's business. So I actually just stopped saying she was my mom. Like stop. I stopped calling her mom in public. I started calling her Karen, which her is probably part of why people think we're related, or we're sisters, because I would just be like, Karen instead of mom.
Oh, so they're like, they're twin sisters.
Exactly. So we kind of had to come up with, not unspoken rules, but things that we would agree on that were not over the boundaries of like a parent-child dynamic, but also appropriate for a business dynamic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, little things. Like I said, I don't call my mom in public. Mm-hmm. Unless I'm close to the person or they already knew prior that she's my mom. She's Karen. I introduce her as Karen. Mm-hmm. People think we're related. I say yes. I don't go into it. I'm like, yes, we're related. That's it.
So these are kind of the ways that you've established and help you.
I think boundaries are important.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh,
my important. Gosh.
Probably we've mentioned boundaries on probably every episode.
Yeah.
Like boundaries, which is like essential to especially when it comes to, you know, the family and the work and the business and the personal and things like that. So for you, you like to draw these quadrants of like, this is business, this is personal, this is social, this is da-da-da-da, right?
I try.
Yeah, and that helps you to like kind of navigate, or it just makes things more, you can just manage them better when they're separate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm not drowning if I have quadrants. Like, you know, other people may not appreciate it, but for me,
yeah,
that's how I don't get drowned in everything.
Right. You know? And so that's the way of that you kind of like learn to like handle all of these things exactly. that you're doing. Compartmentalizing.
Ah! Hey! Yeah.
That's dope. So,
I mean, that was definitely, and I'm sure, you know, my mom had to do some growth of her own on the flip side, because it was very, we went from a relationship where I could tell her everything.
Yeah.
We still have this relationship now. I don't want anybody to think that like it's all burnt out and whatever, you know, but we went to this very like no questions asked open relationship to now it's like, well, I don't have to tell you everything because A, I'm a grown up. Trying to grow up. And B, it's like, if it's not pertinent information in a business sense, like, I don't have to tell you everything. Like, this is the set goals and expectations. Like, you know, kind of do your job, yes. you know,
yes.
which is very hard with the parents, you know, but I'm 100% grateful. She's been, you know, she's my ride or die. She's been there since the very beginning when I was trying to like open up my first jump ring, put together a piece of jewelry.
Oh.
But at the same time, it very much changed our relationship because, and even I had to learn what was personal, what was professional. Mm-hmm. And if something upset me in a personal sense, you can't bring that over to the business and vice versa.
Right.
You know, you cannot let those two emotions kind of intermingle because then you're acting from a place of anger for like, no reason in relation to your business. And like, why are you getting in the way of your business because you're mad that something happened that's like not related?
Yeah,
you
so know? This is really interesting to me because it seems like you have a very great understanding of emotions.
I hope so.
It seems like it. You're like very emotionally aware, trying to kind of figure out how emotions play into things and not play into things. Because a lot of times people do act with emotions first, which is something that we have to learn. And we can only learn that when we learn to develop ourselves and we have that time where we are trying to like figure things out and we establish these things for ourselves. So that's really incredible. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so people can really take from this episode that it is necessary sometimes to, one, you have to develop yourself. You're always learning. You're always developing. And you have to figure out how emotions come into play in different aspects of your life and drawing those boundaries if they're necessary and things like that.
Exactly. And on the flip side, I also am learning that you can't be too compartmentalized because then it's like, it doesn't work either. You have to find the sweet spot where it's like, balance. Okay, everything is balanced and you have to be emotionally aware. Mm-hmm. But if another person is not emotionally aware, you cannot be upset that they do not know their own emotions.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing. And I think I was forced to like understand this because inherently, I guess I'm an emotional person. And that's kind of why I had to become emotionally aware is because I know my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So if I know something is going to make me upset, well, I have to analyze that. Like, why am I mad? And, you know, does it make sense to bring that over? Mm-hmm. Well, no, not all the time. But sometimes, you know, okay, you're upset. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about it and then get back to business.
Right.
You know, especially with my mom, you know, we have to talk about stuff. We are like, I think we are more communicative now because I'm like, I'm not letting this carry over. We're
right.
not doing
you
any
have
foolishness.
To have that. Yeah.
Let's just talk about it now and then get back to business.
Right.
You know?
So just get it out of the way,
exactly.
not fester and hold on to it. Just release it, have that conversation and continue.
Exactly.
Move forward.
Exactly.
Oh,
I know.
Girl.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But these are like some gems you dropped, girl. Oh, my
gosh.
So we've reached the end of the podcast.
All right.
I'd like to ask you if you have anything that you'd like to promote.
Yes. Okay. My signature piece is called the What Time Is It Mr. Wolf bracelet. They are made from new, used, and reclaimed vintage watch bands, both leather and stainless steel. They are paired with semi-precious stones. They're all one-of-a-kind pieces. They are available online at www.monoxidestyle.com. They're also available at our showroom in Parkdale if you're in the Toronto area, or the Junction at Made by Madrigal if you're in the Junction. And I also do custom. A lot of people love bringing in their old watches to kind of keep the memory of their loved one alive, but in a new modern sense. So if you want any of those things done, hit me up on Instagram. You can DM me, call me, or text me, or email me.
All of
text
those
me.
Things. Oh my God. Inside joke. That's hilarious. She is a texting queen. Let's just say.
Please text me or DM me.
Calls, no thank you.
No thank you.
Oh my God, Tyler, thank you so much for coming on the Queen Series podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it's like really fruitful, incredible, important conversation. So thank you for letting us in on some of those things, some gems. We talked through some of the struggles.
The struggles are real.
The struggles are very real for all you 18-year-olds out there. And this goes for everyone. You know, we pick on the 18-year-olds, but everyone can really take something from this conversation. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I hope it was good.
Oh, it was dope. Yes. If you like this episode, rate us 5 stars on iTunes. Also, check us out on our blog at www.readthequeenseries.com. And I want to leave you with this. Queens run the world.
I free all my sons. I love them, baby.